Good morning. Bit loud this morning. Welcome to worship, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. Just a few intimations to go through first. In the event of an emergency, the alarm going off, then we're out through that side, or back through that side, and out to the front, and up to the school car park. We'll meet together there. After the service, join us for a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, biscuits, cake, because I've seen them, I've looked. I have tasted, yes, I have to confess. So that's in the small hall. And AGM and Christmas service complete the first half of the syllabus on Tuesday 17th here at 1:30. This evening at 6:30 at St John's is the Unity Carol service. So that's tonight. And then on 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening at Ardeer, we have the service of quiet, just a time of quiet contemplation, either to get out of the busyness of Christmas, or maybe it's remembering a loved one or a separation of some sort. But that's that. And then there was the two... Yeah, I'm getting lost here. The Nativity at 11:30 next Sunday. And then Christmas Eve service is 7 o'clock at Ardeer, 11:15 here in Livingston, Christmas Day, 10:30 in Ardeer, and then a shared worship on the 29th. Is the 29th? Yes, it is, 10:30 at Ardeer as well. And then I'm just going to go on to the one, the times after the 29th, then we're having New Year, and we'll be moving round again. So it'll be here at 10 o'clock in Ardeer at 11:30. So I was right there, wasn't I? Yeah. So, thank you from North Ayrshire Council Social Work Department. Gifts donated last week be a great value in helping families in crisis, and the money donated will go towards providing Christmas food parcels. And then more good news, following success of the Pantomime Mother Goose, Livingston players are delighted to be sending £3,200 to Christian Aid. I think that deserves a round of applause. And just another couple are lying here. From Blindswood Care, thank you for filling shoe boxes, 65 boxes. And £230 donation and beautiful knitted goods. So that's just a wee poster that'll go up on the wall of a thank you. You each should have received a Christmas card. These are ones that are normally put through the doors in the streets. Whoever changed this year, and that's not going to happen. If you do want to take a few and to put them through friends' doors, give them to friends or to neighbours, then there are some, I think they're at the back. Mm-hmm. Just help yourself, take some and hand them out, but we're not doing that officially. They just have the service times for all the services for the Stevenson churches. That is all. Oh, yes, sorry. There's gift cards here from, it's part of Presbytery raising money for our partners in Malawi. £5 for a gift card, and that actually buys a mosquito net in Africa. So that's much needed. So if you want to participate in that, then just speak to Finlay. That should be us now. So we come to lighting the candles.
Today is the third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of joy.
Our joy is in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Like peace, joy is a gift from God. It overtakes us and fills us when we remember what God has done and what He has promised to do.
We light this candle today to remind us that Christ came and is coming, so that all people might have a rich and abundant life. We thank God for the hope He gives us, for the peace He bestows, and for the joy he pours into our hearts.
Let's pray. O God of joy, Emmanuel, send your light into our hearts at this time. Help us to be ready for the time of Christ's appearing. Fix our hearts and our minds upon those things you have done and those you have promised to do, that we may have the joy you have promised. As we worship you, strengthen us that we may always do your will and so bless you and the world you have made. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let's rise to worship. I think the DVD won. That's the problem with backing tracks. They don't do what we want them to do. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you invite us to come to you rejoicing. Rejoicing that your kingdom is near. Rejoicing that your promise is true. Rejoicing that here you welcome us, children of the living God. We rejoice that you welcome us as we are, with all our faults and failing, with all our unrealized potential. Your embrace is wide enough to encompass us all, and it's from that place of love and welcome, Heavenly Father, that we confess all our wrongdoing, all the things we neglected to do, the ways we didn't love each other as we might, the ways we failed to reflect your indiscriminate love, the ways we failed to share our abundance with others. So, Heavenly Father, forgive us and call us out to try again to serve you and one another in ways that honor you. Bring forth gentleness in us along with kindness in all that we do. May we live as those who know that the Lord is near, rejoicing in all your goodness, living your abundant life. And Father, as we worship, as we praise you, and as we pray, we sum up our prayers using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. See him lying on a bed of straw, a drafty stable with an open door, Mary cradling the babe she bore. The Prince of Glory is his name. Let's rise again if we're able and let's worship. See him lying on a bed of straw. let's continue to worship with our offering. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to worship you and to praise you. We come to give you thanks for all that you've done. And Lord, we come and bless you. Lord, as we prepare this, move through this time of Advent, thinking about Jesus born, living, being placed first in a manger, living in this world, we praise you. Father, that we come to consider your word for us today in the midst of a world that doesn't seem so very different from the world in which your prophet spoke. As we prepare to welcome your son to a world still in need of all that you bring, food for the hungry, clothing for the naked, justice for the oppressed, healing for those who are hurting, peace for those caught up in war. Heavenly Father, we hold on to peace and to hope and even to joy, for those are your promises to us. So as we hold on to that hope, that promise of peace, that joy, not because we don't live in the real world, not because we don't care, or because we too aren't hurt or worried, but because we know your promises are true. We know that you call us to be patient, not passively patient, but actively patient, making a difference where we can, knowing that you can multiply all that we do. Heavenly Father, we hold on to hope and to peace and to joy because there are signs of your kingdom breaking through. There are signs of the thirsty being given clean water. There are signs of beauty breaking out in brokenness, of streams in the desert. And it's to those signs that you call us in the midst of darkness to look, to find hope, to rejoice. Almighty God, there's so much in today's world that conspires against hope, so much to bring unrest instead of peace, so much to rob us of joy, yet you call us to persist. To persist in sharing your word and your love, and to persist in looking for the hope, peace, and joy that's all around. Lord, lay before you our offering, a token of all that you've given us, we give back to you, and we present our very selves to you as well. And Lord, we pray that you would use us for the building up of your kingdom in this place. So, Heavenly Father, open our eyes, our hands, our hearts to love and serve you, rejoicing in every opportunity and in every transformation you accomplish through us and in us. We rejoice in being your servants, called, equipped, sent to serve you in all. And here, Lord, as we offer you these our prayers, in Jesus' precious name, amen. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want, and I will trust in you alone. Let's rise to worship. From Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, first 21 verses. Sandy's going to read for us. After he reads the first time, a short prayer, and then he'll read a second time. We'll see the words on the screen, and then we'll sit and sing together All Heaven Declares.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Heavenly Father, just as we sit here and we dwell under your word, may your Spirit present with us now fill us. May he bring to our hearts, to our minds, the words, the phrases, just what it is you want us to know about this, your scripture, your word. So Lord, as we hear it again and read it, we ask your Spirit would move within us, in Jesus' name, amen.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favours rest." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name of the angel had given him before he was conceived.
join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray I'll be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So just as a wee bit sort of background to this, Luke here stresses three things in this birth narrative we hear and see in the scriptures. One of the things is the political situation to explain why Jesus' birth took place in Bethlehem, see why that had to happen through the census. The other was that Bethlehem, he was stressing that Bethlehem was the town of David, and that's to stress and to focus on Jesus' messianic claim. And the last thing was the humble circumstances of Jesus' birth. So all these things are sitting in there in that reading just for us to pluck out and to consider and keep in the back of our minds as we actually dig a bit more into the reading. And one of the things that, as you know, the last two Sundays we've been meeting the cast, so today we're meeting the shepherds and thinking about just what their role was and what that means for us today, because it surely means much more than just when we have a nativity scene. We need to make sure we have angels, wise men, shepherds amongst everything else. There was a point, a reasoning. God wanted to say something. He wanted to show something. And so we'll take a look at the shepherds. Tom Wright, the theologian, makes the point that if we try to point out something to a dog, the dog will often most likely look at the finger and not at the object being pointed to. And this illustrates a natural mistake we can all make. When we're looking at that nativity scene, when we look at whoever that's been played out, whether it's pictures, whether it's a wee scene here, whether it's being enacted out with people, sometimes we get the focus that looks only at the crib, at the manger. But actually, we need to look a bit wider than that. But sometimes the problem is we actually just focus in on one bit and lose sight of what's actually going on. You know, we're all familiar with the story of the story of Mary and Joseph. This is how we recount it: Mary and Joseph going round, chapping on the doors at the inns, and being told there's no room in the inn, and eventually they end up in a stable, or is it a cave? But we need again to look at that. It's not what Luke is saying. And when we start to think about what the houses looked like and how they were built at the time, it builds a little bit for us as well. If you imagine a building, in the centre of the building, so it's almost in thirds, so the centrepiece is the largest part of it, and that's the living area. That's where the family will live. That's where they eat. That's where they sleep. That's where they are. At one end, there's a kind of guest room that has its own door as well, but it's at one end of the house. And at the other end of the house, actually set down from the living area, is another part, which is for the animals. That's where they bring their animals in at night. That's where they stay overnight. That's where they feed. That's where they're protected. So what Luke says actually in the NIV version is there was no guest room. there was no guest room available for them. So that's kind of where we are in thinking about that. It's just to have that in mind. So the shepherds were out in the fields watching their sheep, and an angel appears to them. Spoke last week about this supernatural messenger, this created being God created, but supernatural. And actually, when we see some of the descriptions through Scripture, an angel can be a big, almost formidable being. So this angel of the Lord appears before the shepherds, and they are terrified. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the first words the angel says is, "Do not be afraid." And then, "I bring you great news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a great company of the heavenly host appeared with that angel. So now, not only just one angel, but a great company of angels. And they're all praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And then they left. And Luke says they'd gone into heaven. And the conversation that the shepherds have is just this: "Let's go to Bethlehem then. Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They didn't get a direct instruction the way we maybe recognize a command or instruction. They weren't told, "You have to go." What they were told was, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." They were expected to go. And they wanted to go. Imagine having these angels appear and give you the message, and then have that conversation. "Will we go?" "No, we'll not bother." They're going to go. But that's what they're looking for. This is the sign. So they've been sitting there watching their sheep. They've seen this angel and then the company of angels. And then they go and they look for and they find the baby in a manger. They are looking for the baby in the manger. That's what the angels told them to look for. That was it. To look for a baby in a manger. For that baby in the manger will be the Messiah. Is the Messiah. That was their sign. That was the thing they were to look for. But actually, sometimes we can get too caught up, as I said, about, you know, you point at something and we get looking at the wrong thing. But the crib, the manger, the feeding trough was the sign to find the Messiah. It's the contents of the feeding trough here, the baby in the manger, that's worthy of praise and we need to focus on. And so they arrive there, they see the baby in the manger, and they tell people about it. They share with everyone around them. And she woke up specially for the sermon too. They tell people. They tell folk around. And the people are amazed. And they go away and they praise God. They glorify him. With such wonder, they spread the word. And everyone was amazed. The work the shepherds carried out. But why? Why the shepherds? Why were they first? They're the first ones that God tells of the birth of Jesus, of the Messiah. Why them? Maybe because they were humble. They were the marginalised, often not able to get to the temple. But surely they were only one example of whom the Messiah came for. But they're also a reminder of where King David had come from. David, of course, had been the shepherd called to be king. And it's in David's line as the Messiah, born in David's town. But when we see scripture too, we're reminded of the fact that often the Lord, the Messiah, is referred to as shepherd. So the shepherds were called for a specific thing. They were working, they were watching, they were protecting. They saw the angels, then they saw Jesus, then they told all that they met about them, about Jesus, about the baby, the Messiah, not the manger. They focused on who God was here. It strikes me sometimes that all too often we can miss the point. Our faith is not about a church building. It's not the plate and the goblet the communion elements are placed in. These are the things that hold what the whole thing is about. And you know, when we focus on anything other than Jesus Christ, we are worshipping idols. And we're not focusing on Jesus. Advent's not just about remembering the nativity scene, not just about remembering how Jesus came to us as a baby in a manger in that scene, but it's actually about looking forward as well, looking forward to when Jesus Christ returns to reign and to rule over his world, his kingdom forever. And we don't know when that will be. We can look at Scripture, we can think about Scripture, we can see in Matthew's Gospel that Jesus speaks about there'll be wars and rumours of war and all sorts of things going on. But actually it won't be then, it'll be after that. And we can look at this world and we can see the state this world is in. And we can think maybe it's going to be soon. But we don't know when it is. We don't know when Jesus will return again. Shepherds saw the Saviour and told everyone about him, spread the word. Our call to serve, our call is one of mission, to share with the people around us, to share about Jesus, about who he is, what God has done through Jesus. And I believe that at this time it's absolutely imperative for the church, for us all, to think again about what it is that we're doing and why we're here, what we're doing. I'll go back to the Radical Action Plan. I make no apologies for doing that, because I think it's absolutely vital that we watch what's going on in the church nationally. The church nationally is setting up a way forward, looking at mission. Next year, there'll be what's called, at the moment, called a growth fund. But they're looking for a new name for it. But actually, what it is somewhere in the region of 20, 25 million for the church to spend on mission over the next 5, 6, 7 years. For the church to spend on mission. This Radical Action Plan sets forward a way for the church in dealing with what it can deal with and dealing with what it can't deal with. And our focus has to be on the baby in the manger, What excellent timing. Our focus has to be on the baby in the manger, in Jesus Christ, and his teaching and his word, and his death and his resurrection and his ascension to be with the Father and for his return again. It's our focus to share that. We have an opportunity this week to share just that next door with the children of the school. We get a wonderful opportunity to share what God has done through Jesus Christ. That's only part of a mission. And there's only a small group of people will be doing that. But actually we need to see how much wider, how much more we can share, how much further our mission goes. Not necessarily to make this place busier on a Sunday morning, but actually to share the word of God so that people can hear God, that people can know their salvation. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Let's rise and worship. From heaven you came, helpless babe. Father, we pray that as we've found hope, peace, joy, love in this time of worship to you and of you, your Spirit would lead us from this place to share your love, to share your hope, your peace, your joy with those people you would cause us to meet. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our door.